to me.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to be a little selfish because I need you to survive. Isn't that all right, church?
That's all right.
Say, you are important to me.
Yes.
And I need you to survive.
Yes.
If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Matthew, the 16th chapter?
Yes, sir.
Matthew, the 16th chapter. And while you're getting that, giving honor to God the Father, to Jesus, the Son, who is the Holy Spirit, who is traveling with us, to our pastor, the Reverend Dr. Harold Sylvester Stinger, who is home recuperating from knee surgery. Amen. To our First Lady, only Lady, Sister Stinger,
who
works quietly behind the scene, but she does a marvelous job. Truth be told, I think it'll fall apart without her. To all the deacons who are here, to all the officials, our trustees, to our musicians and our choir, our crowd of records, amen. Our fellow sufferers other than the gospel, amen. It's so good to have them all here, to each of you God's children.
Yes.
To my lovely wife, amen. 20 years and she's still in the fight. And to our young people, amen. If you missed it this morning, you have a chance to go back and get it a little bit later, maybe not as hot. Maybe not as hot off the, what is that, the oven or out of the frying pan, but let me tell you, you missed something.
Yeah.
Amen. JJ's put it on this morning.
Yes, sir.
T&H, that's Tanya and Hannah, they handled it this morning.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we rolled up in there, they gave us this thing, this, what was that thing called?
Tortilla.
You're supposed to be able to roll your
that's
food
right.
in
yeah.
but we got carried away. I wasn't by myself. You start stacking the food on, and you get to the plate and try to roll, it won't roll. Some of us ain't calling no names. I can just put it. You never could get in the roll. I'm just saying. If you have your Bible, Matthew the 16th chapter. Go by and try it if you have the chance, all right? Matthew the 16th chapter. I want to give a little perspective to our text, so I'm going to go back a little bit and pick up our reading at the 13th verse.
Mm-hmm.
But our text is going to be taken from around the 24th verse, but really spending some time between 18 and 24.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea, and I'm reading to you from the King James Version, Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremiah, and one of the prophets, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am?
Mm-hmm.
And Simon Peter, note this, answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But look what Jesus said to him. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjonas, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
Yes, sir.
Let's go to our text reading in 18 verse. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter.
Yeah.
And upon this rock I will build my church.
Well,
and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Yeah.
And I will give unto thee the keys of kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth
mm-hmm.
shall be bound in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Then charged his disciples, they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day.
Mm-hmm.
Then Peter, remember this guy, Peter, that's Petros, took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee.
Yeah.
But he turned and said unto Jesus, turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
Thou art offense unto me, the same one, for thou seest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men.
Mm-hmm.
Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself,
my Lord.
Take up his cross, and follow me. And for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it.
Yeah.
For what is profit of man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
Mm-hmm.
Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, we come to tell you thank you.
Thank you.
For just being God and God all by yourself, we need a word from you, Lord.
Yes.
But you said in your word you would send forth your word into the earth, but not return it to you, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, as you give us your word, open up our eyes that we can see, our ears that we can hear, our hearts that we can understand. Hide me, Lord, so deep within the crevice of your cross or behind it, that none of me is seen, but only you, and you get the glory.
Yes.
This is our prayer today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. While you're getting your seat, I want to talk to you today about discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
About discipleship. Now,
yeah.
I don't want to limit it to just a disciple because A disciple is a scholar, a follower of Christ, a student, if you would, a learner, a pupil of someone.
Yeah.
That's talking about an individual. But I want to broaden it to who we are as a church and talk about discipleship.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It's how we behave, how we relate to one another, how our lifestyle, the process by which we're individuals who we group, we live together and understand the man that we actually serve. Is that all right?
That's all right.
So I wanted to use this subject for a while, discipleship, and since school, the kids are going all back off to school, discipleship, and I use equation, equal denial, duty, and dedication.
Yeah.
Discipleship, and I'll use take out the equal to make it is for those who understand. You translate the equal sign to be is. Discipleship is denial, duty, and dedication. Turn your neighbor to say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Discipleship
is
denial,
duty,
and dedication.
And dedication.
Now, that could be a rap, really. I mean, if you think about it for a minute, we can make that into a rap. Amen. Denial, duty, and dedication. When we look at our text this morning, before this text opened up in the 18th verse, we find that Peter has just identified and spoke out when no one else did who Jesus is.
Yeah.
He has allowed what Jesus defined as flesh and blood not revealing to him, which means the Spirit to use him and tell them who Jesus was.
Yeah.
He said that thou art the Christ.
Yes, sir.
And that just happened, I want to get into context of our scripture, just a few verses ago.
Yeah.
Now, in this text, when we open up in the 18th verse, we find now Peter now has, because of his availing himself to the Holy Spirit, Jesus looks at him and gives him a name, said, thou art Petros.
Mm-hmm.
You, Peter, you like a rock.
Yes, sir.
You know, y'all thought Peter was shaky, didn't you? But see, Jesus saw in Peter what Peter didn't see in himself.
Right.
You didn't know. Sometimes when you read the scripture about Peter, you don't know which way Peter's going to go.
Yeah,
but you can't. The only thing you can be sure of is Peter's going to have something to say.
Yes, sir.
Everybody else might be quiet, but Peter's going to have something to say. But Jesus looked beyond Peter and said, you are like a rock. Petros. It's what signifies a stone, a fragment of a rock.
Yes.
He said, but upon this rock.
Yes, sir.
Not you, Peter, because you like a rock, but upon this rock, and this rock you read about in Psalm 118 and 1, which is that stone that the builder rejected that become the head of the corner. This stone, this is Petra. This is a stone. It's bigger than a little rock. It's not like a rock. It doesn't signify the rock. It is the stone.
Yes, sir.
It is the rock. I will build. It's a stone, as Isaiah said in 28:16, is behold, I lay a stone in Zion. Upon this rock, I will build my church.
All right.
Now, if you listen to those two words, Petro and Petra, they almost sound alike.
Yeah.
And I believe that Peter somehow got it twisted.
Mm.
Because when Jesus told him this, and then he started giving him stuff.
Yeah.
He said, look, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah, not all.
And these keys, with these keys, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven.
Yeah.
With these keys, whatever you loose on earth, Chevy Luce, I'm just saying, he gave them some power now. Now, with the understanding that now he has given him a name and identified him like a rock, now he's given him some authority.
Yes.
Now, after he's receiving this authority, he said, now I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a secret.
Mm.
You know who I am. Don't tell anybody who I am.
Yeah.
So he gives them authority, then he gives them a secret.
Yeah.
Y'all see where we're going with this?
Yeah.
Now look at what Peter does. Then he says, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what a lot of folks don't know. I'm about to go to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get there's some people there, the chief priests, the elders, and scribes. They're going to decide to kill me, but the third day I'm going to rise from the dead.
Yeah.
Well, Peter heard this, and then it sank in his spirit that, wait a minute, I'm Petros. I'm like a rock.
Yeah.
So he pulled the master aside and began to correct him to say, no, none of this is going to happen.
Yes, sir.
Y'all going with me now?
Yeah.
See, sometimes, like Peter, we've been given authority.
Yeah.
We've been given a secret. We've been given abilities. And what happens is we let it go to our head.
Come on, sir.
And all of a sudden, Peter, I want you to see Peter. Look at Peter. Peter has not had his position long enough to call a disciple.
All right.
Now, he hasn't had it to even identify what office he's going to set up or what desk he's going to secure or what placard he's going to put on the door or what nameplate he's going to put on there. And already he's calling Jesus aside.
Yeah.
He's pulling the master aside to tell him what he's going to do. Y'all missed that. See, some students, I won't talk about students. Sometimes in class, I get a chance to deal with our young people on Thursday night sometimes. And see, what happens sometimes in class, they know more than the teachers know.
Come on.
I know, because they tell them, they don't know how, they tell me this, they don't know how to teach. They don't know what they're talking about. And I'm saying, really? It's funny, though. See, that they have their degree, but and you're trying to get your high school. But you know, all of us have been there. So here we are, and y'all know, we do it. Grown folk, we do it the same way now. Y'all here in church, and y'all know how I should be preaching.
Yeah.
I ain't never preached a sermon before.
Yeah.
Peter hadn't had his position long enough to use his keys, his prayer keys to the kingdom, and already he's pulling the head of the kingdom aside and rebuking him. Peter's not even, he's not the man, he's not the HMIC, the head man in charge, the chief, the boss, the big dog, yet and already he's making uninformed, ill-advised executive decisions. Peter, he's just like us. He's been given these authorities without full knowledge of how to use his authority. So what does he do? Like us, instead of asking, he starts acting. He starts acting like he knows something. Acting like he's the second. Acting like he's in charge. Yeah. Acting like he is somebody.
Yeah. Come on.
Y'all don't know about acting like he's a Christian.
My Lord.
Y'all don't know about like that, do you?
Yeah.
They don't know nothing about what they're doing, but they're so busy acting. They have forgotten. They don't know. But since they have their position, can I use your Dickens for a minute?
My God.
I'm going to use you, whether you like it or not. So they got the title of deacon, so they're just acting like a deacon. They ain't read nothing about what a deacon's supposed to be. But they're acting like a deacon. We act like we're Christians. We ain't read the Bible to know what Christians is. But we heard one, but you know, we see what people act, who call themselves and act like. So we act like Christians.
Act like.
We want to ask, but we just start acting. So Peter didn't know his position, so he started acting like he knew what he was doing.
So
he decides, since Jesus had called him Petra, Peter, and has given him these keys, and then given this authority to bind and to loose, and told him a secret, so he now decides that, well, you say you're going to Jerusalem. No, that ain't gonna happen.
Yeah.
Nobody been down that street?
Oh, my Lord.
But now, if I was the master, and my understudy had decided to act that way, I'd pull him in check. Take his title, sit him down.
My God.
Maybe I made a bad decision. Choose somebody else.
Uh-huh.
But not Jesus. Jesus, instead, he rebuked Peter. He called us, y'all like to say, a spade a spade.
Yeah.
But he rebuked him and put him in his place by saying, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, Peter, you're playing the role of Satan right now. You're not designed to do what God's will is.
You're
about building doing your own thing. So he called him into check, but he didn't stop right there.
Yeah.
Then Jesus told Peter and his disciples what it was to be disciples.
My God.
Did y'all hear what I said?
Yeah.
He didn't just hang him out there and leave him dejected and said, you acting like Satan. You called him Satan. He didn't just leave it. But then he gave him a lesson on how, here's how you're supposed to behave.
Yeah.
Can I get some help around
here?
See, we got people who are babies in this thing. Got started out. And those of us who think we know something, if you really know something, what you ought to know is you're there to help somebody and not to hurt somebody. Goal is to help somebody. When I see somebody make a mistake, I should call them into check.
Yeah.
But then in calling into check, love should allow me to say, now how do I deal with this person that I just tore down? Let me make them better when they leave this conversation, that they're better and that they're not bitter. So Jesus decided to make him better.
Yeah.
So he says, not only am I going to make you better, I want my disciples to be better. So let me tell you what discipleship is.
Yeah.
Now, discipleship identifies a lifestyle, I mentioned earlier, in the process whereby individuals or groups live and understand who their masters is. They understand that they are followers of Christ. So how is it that we're supposed to behave? Jesus said, well, here's some things that you need to do. Here's what disciple is. Discipleship is denial. Deny yourself.
That's right.
It's duty. Take up your cross.
Yes, sir.
It's dedication. Follow me. Can we talk about that for a minute? Can we talk and then we can get ready to go home. Verse number 24, he said, Jesus said to his disciples, he turns from Peter now and begins to speak to the whole masses of them all. He said, all of the disciples, if any man will come after me, I want you to remember I said come after, we get to that in a minute, let him deny himself. The first order of business, if we are going to be in God's discipleship and be a disciple, we got to do what?
Deny ourselves.
Renounce your, disown yourself, surrender your will and desire to God's will and desire, yield your affection, your body, mind, and soul to God. You cannot serve God without first of all denying yourself. Now I know y'all looking at me going, you lost your mind. I barely deny myself ice cream. And you told me to deny myself to serve somebody else.
My Lord.
God wants to do great things to us, through us, with us, but we got too many hang-ups, too many hookups, too much baggage, too much garbage, too much stuff that we're dealing with, too many issues, and way too many problems. And guess what? A lot of them ain't real anyway, but they're ours. They're mine.
Mine.
Oops. Wrong one. You want things done now?
That's not true.
You want them done your way.
That's right.
And when they're not done, you're depressed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You're long faced.
Yes.
You're upset.
Yes,
you're distraught.
Yeah.
You're moody.
That's my God.
Y'all feeling me now? God cannot teach us anything when we behave like we know everything. You can't teach somebody something that knows everything already. He may not come when you want him, somebody said, but he's always on time. That's why we have to ask to deny ourselves, because self would get in the way when God wants to do things the right way. See, self will go fishing when God wants you to be working. Did y'all get that self? Y'all got that, huh? Selfish. Hebrews 12:1 said, wherefore seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, he said, let us lay aside every weight and sin that feels so easily beset, and let us run with patience the race. You can't run when you got all this stuff that you carry. I heard a song when I was in Singapore running on the trail one day. They called it Bag Lady. Y'all don't know that one, I know, because that's old. but the point of it is, you said bag lady, you got so many bags. Ladies, they call her bag lady because she got bags. Like we got bag men, too. We got so much baggage. You can't run when you got all this stuff. How you going to run to the Lord when you got all this stuff that you carry? You got to deny yourself. You got to let that stuff go. I know they get you wrong. I know you were mistreated and all that stuff. I know that. I know the church ain't what you think they ought to be. Everybody. I know the people acting and misbehaving, but that's baggage. Let that stuff go. You got to deny it. And besides, it has nothing to do with you anyway. The flesh, church, cannot comprehend where God wants you to go. The flesh is fighting where God wants you to go. Let me back myself up. Paul said in Galatians 5, he said, wherefore we walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Before the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other. So you cannot do the things that you would. You know there's a battle that's going on your inside. The flesh wants you to go one way. God wants you to go another way. And there's a fight, and if you're yielding to your flesh, then you're not yielding to God.
All right. Amen.
You're losing. You've got to deny yourself.
Yes, sir.
I know, you know, the first thing happened when somebody say something to me wrong. Okay, let me get in the car for a minute. I'm driving down the road and somebody cut me off. My first response. You know how your first responders? My first response is either, you know, a universal language. I don't normally do it, I'm just saying. It comes to mind. Or something comes to my head. I ain't by myself. If I yield to my flesh, then I'm going to be using the universal language. I'm going to be using the universal language. Either way, if I yield to my flesh, then I'm not doing what God would have me to do. Why don't I just let them get on by my Why don't I just... See, sometimes if somebody step on your toe, what you do when somebody step on your toe? You say, ouch? That all you do? Romans 7. 18:21.
Yeah.
For I know that in me, this is Paul talking, the Christian of Christians, that is in my flesh.
Yeah.
He said, dwelleth no good thing.
Yeah.
For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. He said, for the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do. Look at this, is the man of God saying, now if I do that I would not, it is more, not more I that do it, but that dwelleth in me. I find the law that in I would desire to do good, evil is always present.
Yeah.
No matter where I turn, every time I try to do good, evil is present.
Yeah.
I go to church.
Always.
Because I want to avoid evil.
Yeah.
It's always present. I'm not saying you. I'm just saying it's always present.
It's always.
You thought that just by going to church there was, you know, devils go to church too. That's what the Christians are. So if he got you already, he doesn't need you. He needs to go with a groupie. You know, you're devil smart enough to know I got to go. I'm setting this up nice. I got to go where the Christians are, right? So he shows up here just to be busy. Peter thought he was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Because all he wanted to do was to project Jesus and to avoid the embarrassment that Jesus would experience by going to Jerusalem. So Peter decides to speak up and stop Jesus from doing what Jesus knew what he was going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at this, there's nothing really wrong with Peter's response.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even as a servant of the Lord to protect the master, that seems the right thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
But see, here was Jesus was saying, he said, in order for me to establish the foundation of your salvation, I've got to go to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Just like this, I got to suffer. Philippians, Paul said in Philippians 2 and 7, and that, he said, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man.
Yeah.
And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross.
Well.
If Jesus did not die on the cross, then we could not live. So Jesus said to Peter, I understand your motive and it may be good, but the reality is you're not walking in God's plan.
Yeah.
See, God has a plan and I have a plan that I have to follow, so I've got to die in order that you might live.
Amen.
And so while you think you're doing good to keep me from Jerusalem, you're trying to stop God's plan.
Yeah.
I hope I spoke to someone's spirit, because oftentimes what we think is a good motive is not spiritually driven.
Just
because we think we have a good idea doesn't mean it's spiritually driven. We come in sometime in the church, we have things that we have, they seem like they're good. I mean, it's decent and in order, but it's not consistent with God. God's plan. And as a result of our putting ourselves in the way, we are blocking God's plan. And I need somebody to say, rebuke Satan.
Get behind me, Satan.
You can say, renounce those things that be of God. I know, and see, some of us have been taught things, traditions, and how things should be done.
Mm-hmm.
And they're good. The motive is good. I mean, it was good because it's good order. But it's not biblical.
Come on, sir. It's not spirit driven.
And as a result of that, we're blocking people and we're keeping people from God. Discipleship, in order to be disciples, we got to understand it ain't about your motive, it's about the spirit. You need to consult the spirit, not your motivation. Because our motivations are not always clear. We don't even know. We don't even know it. But Jeremiah looked at one and said, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked.
Wicked.
Who can know it? You don't even know. How many times you fell in love? I'd leave it alone. That's another story.
My Lord.
Step tonight is a hard lesson. Mm-hmm. It goes against the grain of the flesh, but it's exactly what Jesus required us to do before we can be servants of His. The servant of is no greater than his master. And if Jesus had to submit, then we need to submit. If we're going to ever be what God wants us to be, the first thing we've got to do is we've got to deny ourselves. Salvation 101, Christianity 101, born again 101, love 101, trust 101, faith 101, grace 101, hope 101, fellowship 101, truth 101, are all dependent on based on the foundation that we deny ourselves.
Yeah.
If you don't deny yourself, you will not turn the other cheek.
Yeah.
You will not go there for now. You will not love your enemies. You will not do good for those who fight. You will not pray for those who use you. You will not laugh when you feel like crying. You will not have peace of mind. You will not get joy in the morning.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Deny
my God.
Yourself.
Yes, sir.
God, understand that if we're going to ever be good at this, and I don't mean great, I just said good, we got to deny ourselves.
Yes.
Good students, young people, can I talk to you for a minute? If you're going to be a good student, you got to deny yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You may want to watch TV. You got to deny yourself. You may want to hang out with friends. You got to deny yourself. You might want to hang out with other folks. You've got to deny. You may want to do other things and study. You've got to deny yourself and be about the business of doing what you're called to do. Is that all right?
That's right.
Deny yourself. Because sometimes, yes, self will get in the way. Self, it sounds good right now. The second thing Jesus points out, he said, take up your cross.
Yes, sir.
This is about duty.
Yeah.
Take up your cross. The cross is a symbol of Jesus' willingness to suffer for our sin, that we might be reconciled unto God, according to Ephesians 2 and 16. Jesus carried the cross and died on the cross that we might have a right to abundant life, John 10 and 10, and life everlasting, John 3 and 16. My question is, must Jesus bear the cross alone?
Yeah.
And all the world go see. Somebody, songwriter said it correctly. No, there's a cross for everyone,
there's
a cross for me. Look at what he said in verse 24b. He said, and let him deny himself and take up his cross. Take up his cross. Taking up your cross is a figurative expression denoting that we must endure whatever is burdensome, whatever is trying, whatever is disgraceful, whatever we've got to go through in order to follow Christ. See, sometimes we think that because we're on the Lord's side, everything's going to be great.
Come on, preacher.
We like Tony and Tiger. That's great. Come on, somebody told you that, they told you the wrong thing.
Yeah.
It's our duty, you hear what I say? It's our duty as Christians to obey Christ and the Scripture. If we're going to do this, we're going to incur some shame, some disgrace, some pain.
Yes.
We're going to have to, it's going to be a cross that we've got to bear.
Right.
Every now and then, everybody's not going to see it your way when you're on the Lord's side.
Right.
We cannot defer or neglect our pain or what we have, our suffering. We're not going to always be healthy. We're going to be sick sometimes. It doesn't matter where you are. You're going to go through something, and you need to accept that as a part of your duty.
Amen.
We think it's our duty to be Christian to just say we are Christians.
Yes. All right.
Every disciple of Christ has a cross to bear.
Yes, sir.
Every disciple of Christ must take up his or her cross.
Yes.
It is not enough to have a cross, but you got to take it up.
Yes, sir.
You know what I say? Yes. Jesus' words were take up the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Not look at it and say it's mine, but
take it up.
So when you're about doing God's work, there's going to be a weight, there's going to be a work, there's going to be a burden, but he said, take my burden upon you for their life. Do you understand? But you're going to have something that you're going to go through, and you should celebrate that you're going through it.
Yes.
Christ says that we should not fall victim to missing our crown because you don't take up our cross. You're going to go through, turn your cheek if you have to.
Yeah.
Go the extra mile if you have to.
Yes, sir.
Be reliable. Whatever you've got to go through, be that and go through that in order to be on the Lord's side because that's a part of your duty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coming to church on Sunday, Bible study on Thursday, Sunday school on Sunday morning is your duty. Mm. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Reading your Bible.
Yeah.
Study your Bible.
Yeah.
Praying,
yep.
Getting close to the Lord, spending some time with the Lord, is your duty. Now here's the real kicker. Helping somebody else.
My God.
Being a servant to somebody else.
Yeah.
It's your duty.
Yeah.
When someone treats you wrong, you pray for them, turn the other cheek.
Yeah.
It's your duty.
Yeah.
I want you all to know it's our duty. Once we accept it as our duty, then it's not so bad.
See,
I went through a training some time ago, and I remember my attitude going in was I was excited. And some people that were going through with me said, man, you have lost your mind. But I was excited because, you know, it was this paramilitary training stuff, and I'm like, but I was excited because I get the opportunity to do this, and they pay me, and I know there's an end date.
Yes, sir.
And it says good training.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I was just pumped every day. And it's like, this boy lost his mind. But now we went through the same thing, but my attitude was wholly different because I knew I was pumped. The people who were struggling were those who got up in the morning going, it's another day.
Yeah.
I don't even want to be here.
Amen.
Oh, they had a hard time.
Yes,
I tried to encourage them.
Yeah.
Did y'all hear what I said?
Amen.
Christian, if you're struggling about your Christianity
because
you don't want to do it, I'm going to try to encourage you because you're going. But if you get excited about who God is, about whose side you're on, about whose training that you're going through.
Yeah.
And can I tell you what? It'll go through a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
But it's your duty.
Yeah.
Don't have your dream deferred because you're too lazy to live. Your hope hijacked because you're too helpless to hold on. Your desires dashed because you're too shy to try. Though your ambition embodied because you're too free to focus. Your mission mangled because you're too greedy to give. We ought to work out our soul salvation in fear and in trembling. That's what Paul said in Philippians 2 and 12. We got to be busy about the business of doing God's work, not just sitting down being comfortable expecting somebody to serve us. The good news is this suffering is going to be over. Paul said, I reckon. A little country swing right there. I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared. I reckon. He said that it's not even worthy to compare to the glory. Now the last point he makes here is, follow me. Talk about dedication.
Yeah.
Now in the New Testament, there are various words and phrases that render follow. For example, to come after, to pursue, to imitate. They all suggest to follow.
Yeah.
In our text in verse number 24, Jesus employs two of these renderings. He says in verse 24, he said, if any man, notice, will come after me, then deny himself, take up his cross, and then he said, and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
So he used to come after and to follow in the same sentence.
Mm.
Well, now, he's, if any man will come after me, let him follow me. The combination of these terms seems to be per idiom, the same thing said over again, redundantly repetitive. I think sometimes repetition is the best way to learn, but I believe these words, they were used repeated twice because they have a meaning, a bit of a parallelism. And you say, well, what's the difference? Well, I'm glad you asked, because if you look at this, there is a difference. To come after is to set after, to begin is to start.
Yes, sir.
It's your turn. But to follow is to continue, to endure, to persevere, to hang on in there. It's long term.
Mm-hmm.
To come after Jesus is to want to get involved, but to follow is to be involved. Okay. To come after Jesus is to know of Jesus, but to follow is to know Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus is saying, if you're going, the men and women will come after me in profession and have the name and credit of a disciple or a Christian, let him follow me in truth and do the work and duty of a disciple.
Yeah.
Don't just come after me, but you got to follow me. He said, if any man will sit after me in good beginning, let him continue and follow me and persevere until the end.
Yeah.
Don't just start this journey. Finish what you started.
Yeah.
If you're going to come after me, follow me and do what I require for you to do.
Uh-huh.
Matthew 8 chapter says it this way. And a certain scribe came and said, Master, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. Jesus said to him, well, that's good, but note this, foxes have holes.
Yeah.
And the birds of the air have their nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. But you can come on and follow me. Church, you got to understand, when you decide to follow Jesus, it's not going to be on easy street. Young people, disciples, students, it takes dedication.
Yes,
you got to stay in there when staying in there doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
You got to stay in the fight when it feels like you're losing the fight.
Yeah.
You got to stay there when it feels like they've gotten the best of you.
Yeah.
You will not learn Jesus' move and what he requires of you overnight. You've got to spend some time with Jesus.
Yeah.
See, some of us think that if I go to church on Sunday,
come on,
I show up at Bible study on Thursday, maybe if I look in the book on Sunday, I've had enough. But you can't get to know who Jesus is just by visiting him. You got to spend some time with him. You got to study to show yourself a true unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You can't rightly divide unless you spend some time in the word. John said this way, you got to search the scripture. For he said, for in them they testify of me, and you will have eternal life. Joshua said in 1:8, he said, the book of the law shall be not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate on day and night, and you observe to do all that is you can't do all unless you know all.
Yeah.
So you got to spend some time in the Word. Then thou shalt ways shall be
prosperous.
Then thou shalt have good success. Church, if we want to do and be called Christian, we got to know who Christ is.
Yeah.
How you going to be like somebody that you don't know?
Yeah.
You got to get to know who you want to be like. My son grew up in my household. And the way you look at them, they almost look like me. But that's not the real thing. I called him one day. I said, that sounds just like me.
Yeah.
He's walking like me. He's talking like me.
Yeah.
Because they spent some time with me.
Yes.
Because of the time they spent with me, they got to know who I am.
Yes.
And they know who she is. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Who she is as well. The disciples of Christ, to come after him, to follow him, you got to be like a sheep is toward the shepherd, like a servant is to his master, like a soldier is to his captain. We got to get to know who Jesus is. Christ called the disciples. He said, don't just come after me, but follow me. Don't try to get ahead of me. Follow me. See, Peter tried to get ahead. See, when you think you know it already, and you already had enough, you had enough of that church thing that's been in there too long. You had enough of that Bible study, I'm not going to go. Forget about that prayer meeting. And you had enough of that, you're not going to know who Jesus is. You're trying to get ahead of him. You find yourself in a conversation upset about what's going on over there because you really don't understand because you didn't get to know the man. Don't get ahead of me. He said, follow me. Stay dedicated. Stay in the fight. Don't follow every winning doctor. Don't try to figure it out yourself. God has already worked it out. Don't try working things out by yourself. Just put it in God's hand. Because in God's hand, I say in God's hand, I say in God's hand, stay in step with God. Stay behind over here. God said, I know. I know what you've been through. I know what you're going through. I know you've been lying on. I know you've been talked about. I know you've been called everything but a child of God. I know you've been mistreated. I know you wanted to handle things yourself. But stay in step with me. Don't try to get ahead of me. If you want to be my disciple, you got to deny yourself. You got to know that it's your duty. And you got to stay dedicated. God knows the future. What lies ahead? What he has in store for you. So don't do it yourself. But rather do yourself a favor. Humble yourself. And let God lift you up. I said, humble yourself. Trust in the Lord. I heard the psalmist say, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to your own understanding and all your ways. Acknowledge him. And go to the new church. He'll direct your path. Some of us need to let God direct our path because God can do it when no one else can do it. Don't take my word for it. Talk to somebody else. If you talk to the children of Israel, they will tell you we were marching and we kept marching. We came to this place. Called Jericho. No walls there. We need to get inside the city. We didn't know how to get inside, but I heard the Lord say, march around the wall. Now, you know how stupid that sounds. But God said, march around the wall. 7 days. One time. On the seventh day. Seven times. If you do it the way God said, if you follow him, on the seventh day, nothing had happened. But we stayed dedicated because it was our duty. We had denied ourselves. But on the seventh time, on the seventh day, the walls came down. After we shouted, the walls came down. So you got to learn to march and do what God said. When God says shout, you need to shout. No matter if the walls are still standing, you go ahead and shout. Because when you shout, the walls will come down. Don't take their word for it. Talk to Gideon. Gideon will tell you, well, now, he sent me to fight against the Midianites. I had 10,000 when I started. I felt pretty good. But then when he started to break them down, when he left me and I was complete, I had 300 men. He said, now you're ready. Now, I'm thinking myself, now you're ready. I was more ready when I had 10,000. You have people in the boat with you. Somebody's going to want to take credit for what God is doing. But when it's too few, God steps in. It's here who won. I sent 300 so nobody will be confused. Who's in charge? So follow me. Sent the 300. Said we went out with our 300. We had a lamp. That's all we had. And a horn. And a trumpet. That's all we had. We went to battle. With a lamp.
With a lamp.
Horn, 300 men to war. And when we got here, all we needed left was to see the spoil. The horn to confuse folks. So we blew the horn. They fought themselves and killed themselves. Went in and got messed up. Get the just on me.
Yeah.
I'll lead you to what is yours. You won't have to try to take somebody. Moses, don't take that word. Talk to Moses. He's out at the Red Sea.
Yes, sir.
You know what happened.
Yeah.
It got to the sea. God told me, take the rod that's in your hand.
Yeah.
Stretch it out. Now, they've been complaining. Say, they're gaining on us.
Yeah.
They're gaining on us.
Yeah.
All around us, mountains, in front of us, a sea, and you telling me to raise the rod.
Yeah.
You know how to sound.
Yeah.
I know I want to sound like
this.
But when I stretched out my hand, with that rod, the sea that was in front of us congealed on both sides. Somebody tried to tell the story.
Yeah.
So what happened to the water?
Oh,
my brother said last Sunday, so, well, some of it froze.
Yeah.
Some say it dried up.
All right now.
Some say it congealed on both sides.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. All I know is they walked through.
Yeah.
Oh, God, they got to the other side.
Yeah.
The other thing that came through
down
in that same wall.
Yes,
do what God said.
Yeah.
And follow God's lead. Now, I'll tell you why this is important. Because if you're a disciple of Christ, you don't know what the form
is.
You know that business is mine, said the Lord, and I will repay. You know that you're more than a conqueror.
Yeah.
Here's the real deal. When I looked into heaven, your eternity depends on your dependence on God.
Yeah.
Your eternity depends on you being a disciple. Your duty, your dedication to the Lord. Why is it? Because when he looked, John said, and I saw none.
The
first thing I saw, 144,000.
Come on.
There were 12 tribes. Now, I did the research on the tribes. I discovered there was not a Jasper tribe.
Come on.
I was selfish because I really wasn't concerned about you.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know if my name was in the book.
Yeah.
I found my name on the wall.
Yeah.
They called it the Jasper.
Yeah.
The wall was made of Jasper.
Yeah.
I didn't need a name on the wall.
Ah.
I needed a name in the book.
Yeah.
And when I checked the book,
yeah,
144,000.
All right, man.
My name wasn't in the book. I got nervous.
Yeah.
And when I kept on reading, and I looked at John, in the 14th chapter, he said, I found it that these are things. These are things which had not been found by the woman.
Yeah.
But they were a virgin. He said, these are things which follow, hear this word, follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth.
Yeah.
These are redeemed among the men, being first fruit unto God and to the Lamb. Now, when I looked at the these are they, he said, this was they. There was
no man.
If I would follow the Lamb, I could be one of the these are they. All I have to do is follow the Lamb.
Yeah.
I could be the these are they. I don't have to look for my tribe.
Yeah.
I just follow the Lamb.
Yeah.
I'll be a part of these are they.
Yeah.
I don't know what your plan is.
Uh-huh.
I want to be a part of these are
they.
I got to follow the Lamb.
Uh-huh.
Discipleship is about denying yourself, doing your duty, and being dedicated, following the Lamb. I cannot guarantee either one of you that your name is in the book.
All right.
Particularly if I narrow it to the 144,000. I can't guarantee you that your name is in the book if I look at the deeds of day. What I can guarantee you, if you follow Christ, that you'll be a part in that number. Well, you say to me, well, how do I get in that number? Well, it's real easy. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus and that God has raised from the dead. Romans 10:9 says, thou shalt be saved. You've got to first of all allow God to save you and Christ to be some of your saving Lord so that you can follow him. And then you become a part of the number. If you're here today, if you don't know God and Jesus is a part of your sin, I beg with you, I plead you, get to know him for yourself. Get to know him for yourself. If you're here today, I beg you, come now. If you're not saved, I beg you to come now. Get to know the Lord for yourself and follow him for yourself. say yes to the church daily at TC Smith. If there's someone here today, God has a call on your life. There's not a person here today who does not have a call from God in your life. But you have to accept that call. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open up, I'll come in. But you got to let him in. If you're here today and he's knocking on the door of your heart, and you haven't accepted our faith, let him in today. Let him in today. If you're here, this is your time. Young people, if you're here and you don't know my faith as well, I especially beg you, make it your Lord and Savior. You're going off to school, going back to school, you're going to need somebody to help you in time of need, in all times, and these are the times of need. If you're here today, I'm making it. If you're here, discipleship is denying yourself.